We're not up here performing. We're praising the Lord, and that don't require perfection. If it did, I would have quit a long, long time ago. But the Lord was honored in that singing. I thank the Lord for it. Amen. All right. Go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 23. And I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to anyway. And we'll see how it works out. But I believe I went back and did something I hate to do, but I went back and listened to where I stopped off preaching. And I used to have to listen to myself preach to edit it and get it down to 27 minutes and I think 14 seconds for the time for the intro and the extra to go on and off the radio. And I detested doing that, listening to myself preach. And I would edit. I'd say, I don't like that. And I'd, it's like, you ever seen somebody whittling something? They'll end up whittling it, and then it's gone. And I would cut out so much of the message, it would be down to nothing that I liked about it. And so I ended up having to get somebody else to do that. But I went back and listened to try to see where we left off, and I said more about the subject than I thought I did. And so tonight shouldn't be too long of a message. We covered a good bit of it, and you were patient Sunday night. We squeezed a 45-minute message into an hour and 15 minutes. As hard as we tried, that was what we did. And so I'm going to try my best not to re-preach what we did and just touch base where we were Sunday night and then try to finish the message. But dealing with the phrase out of verse number 23, Proverbs 23 and verse 23, I was reading this chapter, this proverb, and it's worth reading, as all the Bible is, but just right here in Proverbs 23, there's so many truths that that if you read the chapter, you would see phrases and statements that would ring a bell, and that's what you would call famous or well-known truths right here in this chapter. And I'm not going to take the time and read the entire chapter, but I would encourage you to do that. Has a lot to say about wisdom and how to gain truth, which is what we're dealing with. Buy the truth and sell it not. In this one chapter, it deals with a plethora of issues and things that will get us into trouble. Young people and older alike run into wine and women, and deals with several of those issues, and just tells you what God thinks about it and what the truth is about those things. And so it'd help us all to read that and learn and glean from it. But let's read the 23rd verse again. And the Bible says, "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Let's look at verse 24. "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Listen to verse 26. Those verses we just read begins with buy the truth and sell it not. And then it goes into a relationship between a father and a mother and their child. And I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get in raising and rearing my children for the glory of God. I can afford to fail at a lot of things, and I have failed at so many things, but one thing that I can't afford failing at is raising my children for the Lord in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because I've tried hobbies. I've failed at hunting. I've failed at fishing. I've failed at golf. I've tried all kinds of things and just had epic failures at it. But them things will fall by the wayside and not mean that much in life. But your child and my child, hopefully, they're going to outlive me. I pray they outlive me. And I can't think of anything that I desire more than for my children to serve the Lord and give the Lord their heart. And that begins in verse 23 by us buying the truth and selling it not. Because if we don't buy the truth and have it and hold it and live it in front of them and be examples to them and not sell it, I'm not going to, and you're not going to get to the place to where our children are a blessing to us and bring joy to us. They'll bring shame and heartbreak because they followed our example. They'll swallow the same lies we lived with. They'll be as gullible as you were. How many of you would be honest and say there's things, and the Bible talks about not even speaking of things done in darkness. In other words, I've heard people behind the pulpit, and I have to be careful myself, and in a church service stand up and testify, and they almost glorying in their sin, telling about, I mean, you almost see a glee in them when they talking about how they used to be in the bars and how big and bad they was and how hard they partied and how deep in sin they went. And the Bible says not to speak of those things done in darkness. And so without naming sin tonight, just on a generic level, how many of us would be honest and say, I was gullible and I swallowed lies from the devil and I fell in holes and I was ensnared by sin, by the traps of the devil, that I pray my children don't fall in. I did things I beg God my children will never see and never have to experience. Is that your heart's desire? Any parent that's worth their salt, that's your heart's desire. I mean that. And God means that. And just in the verses we just read, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Our children's eyes, they are observing our ways. Amen. And so may we buy the truth and sell it not. We look at this a little bit Sunday night and dealt number one with the principle of truth. And I begin by saying every Christian can buy the truth and sell it not by understanding the following truths. Number one, we must understand the principle of truth, and we dealt with that for a good long while about truth itself, what it is, where it comes from. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, the church is the pillar and ground. And so that is the principle of truth. And without re-preaching that, we'll try to move on quickly to not only the principle of truth, but the purchase of truth. How do you buy it? And I mentioned this, but I didn't deal with it in detail. But it says right there in the text, buy the truth. And so the purchasing of truth, how do we do that? I believe I said, and give the illustration about buy, and I told you the key line and the answer to what I believe and how I believe we buy the truth, and that's with our lies. And I got some strange looks, but I want you to hear me out on that, because that's absolutely right. I spoke of how if you go to the gas station and your hands on empty, and you got a $100 bill in your pocket that's valuable to you. I don't know about you, but I don't mind breaking a dollar bill near as bad as I mind breaking a $100 bill. Sometimes I'll have them things folded up so tiny and stuck in places that Jenny can't find. They're valuable to me. Did I just say that out loud? She'll be hunting every little nook and cranny I got tonight. If y'all see her leave service early, y'all know where she's headed. But as valuable as a $100 bill is to me, on a regular basis, I need to go places. And so when that gas runs out, it's inevitable. And I will make I don't think about it even, but I will pull into a gas station and I will pull out money and a $100 bill, whatever it is, and you better have $100 these days if you're gonna get gas. And I will take and I will give that thing of value in exchange for, at that time, something of more value. That's purchasing. And that's the case if it's gas, or if you've been with your child to the dollar store or convenience store, and they screaming, "But I gotta have it! But I want it! Give me, just let me have that! I want that! And I want that!" And finally, what ain't worth a plug nickel that was made in China and will just become part of the pile of junk at your house, you will pull $3 or $4 or $5 or $10 out of your pocket and say, "Okay, just put it on the counter," and you'll pay for it and purchase it. Why? Because you wanted it? No. You know what you're purchasing? Not that China cheap junk. You're purchasing something that's more valuable than what you just gave. You're purchasing your peace of mind. That's exactly what you're purchasing. Otherwise, you would not have bought that junk. If that child wasn't there screaming and pitching a fit, ain't no way you'd go and buy that junk. So what you did, you didn't purchase the junk, you purchased your peace of mind, which is more valuable than $5 or $6. You get what I'm saying? Okay, that same mentality applies. Buy the truth. So anytime you purchase something, you take something of value, and at that point when you make a decision, I'm going to buy that, you are saying that is more valuable to me than this. Right? Truth has to be bought. Truth has to be purchased. God said so. How many of you know? I wish this was the case, but you're not just going to get all the truth you need freely. Salvation is free. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. That truth, you got free. It didn't come cheap. It cost God everything. But you got it free, and I got it free. But there's a whole Bible there that you don't get free. You're going to have to pay for it. If you want the truth, and this amazes me at how many people have the mentality that they are just going to somehow by osmosis get it in them. It don't work that way. It ain't going to sink in. It never has worked that way, and it never will work that way. If you want the truth, you're going to have to invest in it. If you want a house, you save and you scrimp and you work to purchase it. Car, whatever. Truth is the most. It's way more valuable than a house. Truth is way more valuable than any car you'll ever have or all of them combined. But if you're going to get it, you're going to have to pay for it. Got to buy it. God, that, y'all do believe the Bible, don't you? I ain't making this up. God's, did y'all read the verse? How in the world? How did you pickpocket you? I guess I might have to get some of them things that wrap around your head and just dangle them, glue them to my head. Did we not read our text verse? Did we not read? Buy the truth. Why would God say that? He meant it. God says what He means, and it means what He says. And He said, buy the truth. And He went on and said, not just buy it, but when you purchase it, when you obtain it, hold on for dear life and don't sell it no matter what. Now, I'm not going to get to that point tonight, but I'll say this. I have sold the truth. I have pawned the truth. Cheaply. I bought a 1968 Ford F-100 when I was down in Georgia. Some of y'all looked up like, oh, where's that at? This is one of them sad stories. Had 32,000 miles, original miles. The city of Augusta bought it brand new and bought it to haul hay bales in the 30s and 40s, and a man who worked from them from that time, they issued it to him. He drove it his whole time till he retired 40 or 50 years later. They give it to him as a retirement gift. And he took it home, parked it, and died and left it to his grandson. His grandson had a newborn baby and had an exhaust leak that was coming up into the cab. That was all that was wrong with it. And he had a newborn baby and couldn't have that situation. He needed a car. And so I had paid $5 for a Ford Bronco, and I swapped him for it. Had $5 in that thing, 32,000 miles. And about a year went by, and I got hard up for money. Got broke. Girls needed diapers or whatever the case was. And I said, that thing's just sitting out there. I'll just sell it. Nothing to come along. And I sold that thing for $2,000. thousand measly dollars. Do you know how many days I've sat and thought and regretted how ignorant and how foolish and how cheap I was to sell that? Realizing I'll never get it back, and I'll probably never have it that easy to get one like that again. Truth is that way. When you do purchase it, when you do buy it, when you do trade in and exchange a lie that you've lived with your whole life and believed, and God shines light on His Word and said, that is not parallel to your life. That is perpendicular. That cuts across what you believe. That is not what you believe, but that's truth. And He lets you know that, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with His Word. And He shows you, you can either stiffen up to that and get stiff-necked and bow up on that and say, I don't believe that. Surely that ain't what that means. Or you can humbly say, wow, that is truth. I've never seen it before. But God revealed that to me, and it's worth me cashing in what I've always believed and receiving this truth. And once, can I say this? When God shows you a truth, and you buy it, and you invest in it, there are some things, like the King James Bible, the truth that God's Word is perfect. Amen. And that He preserved it. They ain't a man. I don't care how many degrees he has behind his name. I don't care what his IQ is. And I've had them, brilliant men, who have forgotten more than I'll ever learn, try to convince me that Bible has errors in it. But when God shines light and shows you a truth and you buy it, it's yours. And nobody, no man or no demon in hell, not the devil himself, can steal that or take that from you. If you ever give it up, it'll be because you on purpose sold it and sold out. And I encourage you not to do that. So, buy the truth. It means that it must be invested in. I'll say a quick word about investing. I'm not giving you investment advice as far as the stock market or the housing market, because I'll just tell you this. It's all looking pretty bad right now. If you are in the stock market or you got a 401k, you've been so blessed to have done all that, it's draining quick. You've lost a load in the last year. Are you listening? I'm not giving financial advice tonight, but I am giving advice on investing in something that you can't lose at. I'm giving you advice on investing in something that will never, ever, 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 ever lose its value.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's a solid investment. That's an investment worth making. And that's in truth.
Amen.
But it will cost you. Do you know people work their whole lives for houses and lands and big bank accounts? And they invest their time, their energy, their efforts for stuff. And I'm simply saying to a believer, it's worth your time and your energy and your effort to get in that book and take the time needed to see truth and dig it out and search for truth and pray and say, God, here is truth. I'm not expecting you to just let it sink in. I'm going to get in here and mine for it. I'm going to get in here and dig around and look, and I'm going to read it, Lord, and I've read it before, but I ain't never got a whole lot out of it, but I'm going to ask you, the author, to expose and reveal and sell me truth. Show me where I'm wrong. Here's the mirror of your Word, and so here's my life. When I look into this mirror, show me, reveal error in me. As I read this, in my thinking, we think wrong. There's so much. Fundamentally, we know what we believe. I mean, we've got our doctrines down pat for the most part. But I'll tell you, you'll be amazed in this little congregation right here how many people are messed up in your thinking. Doubt, doubting, depression. I'm not saying it's a sin to get depressed. I am saying it's a sin to stay depressed. I dare you to prove that to me otherwise in the Bible. You don't have to stay depressed. Amen. Most of that stuff, it comes out of our thinking, wrong thinking, and things we have bought into and believed that's contrary to what God said. And where God says something that's contrary to what we believe or what we feel. By the way, please get this part. Most of us operate by how we think, but a lot of people, and I ain't talking about out yonder, I'm talking about right in here, a lot of us operate on how we feel. Impulse. I mean, just, I feel like this, so I'm going to go do this. I feel like buying a truck, so I'll go buy a truck. I feel like, and you're just bouncing from here to there, doing any way you want to do because you feel like it. You know where that philosophy and where that mindset comes from? Have you ever heard, if it feels good, do it? That's the world. That's the world's mentality. I mean, they've got hashtag, they promote and push that mentality. If it feels good, do it. That is not Bible. That is contrary. That is polar opposite of truth.
Right.
We're not to operate on. And listen, please, I'll say, I'm not preaching on feelings tonight, but I'll say this. If you live your life, and I live my life, operating from feelings, emotions, I promise you, I've done it. You will live a life like a roller coaster. You'll be up one day, down the next. You'll be in one day, out the next. You'll read your Bible when you feel like it, and you won't when you don't. You'll pray when you feel like it, which is very seldom, and you won't when you don't. One of the biggest lies the devil's ever told is live the Christian life when you feel like it. How many of you believe the Bible says we are soldiers? How many of you believe, Brother Jackie, you are a Marine? From my understanding, you never retire being a Marine. You all, once a Marine, always a Marine. Did you have the option when you was serving active duty to wake up one morning and say, I just don't feel like doing this today. I believe I'll hang out and just chill out in my cot. And why? That didn't work that way, did it? I'm simply saying, we've took on this philosophy that's wrong. As soldiers, as servants, I mean, it should not be an option. When you wake up in the morning and say, multiple choice, I will read my Bible, A, B, I will not, C, I'll think about it, doing it later. That's wrong thinking. As soldiers, we must program our mind to line up with truth, and we're commanded to read the truth. And we know from the truth that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so as soldiers, we want to be better soldiers. We want to increase our faith, so we don't operate by how we feel or how we think. We change our thinking to truth, and we buy that truth. And the more you buy it, the more you'll see it, and the more you'll see it works. And the more you'll invest in it. Same with prayer life. Most people have never invested enough time in prayer to see it work. Therefore, they don't do it.
That's right.
That's right. I could go, oh, this thing got bigger tonight. This thing of being, the truth about being a soldier, you are, if you're saved, you're a soldier. You say, I just don't think I'm a soldier. Well, that's just your goofy thinking. You are. It's not a question. You can live in error. You can live AWOL in a lie. But the truth is, if you're saved, you are a soldier. You may not be a good soldier, but we're called to be good soldiers. God's given us everything we need to be good soldiers. And the truth of that is, you can be a good soldier. You should be a good soldier. God, if there's ever been a time God needed good soldiers, frontline soldiers, it's now. And the church has, swallowed the lie of the devil and the lie of the world. It don't feel good. I don't think I'll do that. And that's where the church is. Well, I know it's quiet in here, but it's the truth. I just give that about soldier. That ain't in my notes. I just give that because that's the truth. But what about a servant? We're commanded to serve, to be servants. That don't jihad in the Baptist church. Oh, there's a few who serve, but God didn't call a few to serve. God said if you're saved, you are to be a servant. That's the truth. Prefer others above yourselves, esteeming others higher than yourself. That's truth. So we shouldn't come to church and say, well, I wonder what I'm going to get out of this today. Won't you come to church and say, I'm going to give this today. How are they going to serve me today? Won't you come and say, I'm going to serve my church today. In so doing, I'm going to serve my Lord by serving His church. I'm going to pick up trash. I'm going to go park cars. I'm going to come clean a bathroom. I'm going to come and worship the Lord. I'm going to contribute and serve my church because I am a servant. By definition, I'm saved, which means I'm a soldier. That's the truth. And anything that we live outside of that is we've bought into a lie. And I'm saying God said, buy the truth. Buy it. It's going to make you the best you can be if you buy the truth. And before you can buy it, you got to discover it. There's truths. Listen to me. I'm the preacher, and I had two people this week call me, and I've been to Bible college, a few of them, and I've been studying this Bible a long time. But I had two people call me or text me this week and ask me questions about the Bible. And I had to say, I'll get back with you. Yeah. You know why? Because I don't know the answer. And I'm not about to be so prideful to just shoot off the mouth and shoot out off the hip and give a quick response to sound good and give error. Yeah. How's that going to look, Brother Stephen? I would much rather say I'll get back with you and go study it and get the right answer than to just give you something to make me sound and look good, like because I'm the preacher, I must know it all, and then you go study it and find out I'm wrong, and it just undercuts respect for me. And so I'm simply saying I don't know it all, neither do you. My point in saying that is there's so much truth here. There's so much truth here that has not been bought. That is available. My point is, we don't even know how much truth is in here. That's never even been touched. But you can have it. But you got to invest in it. So you say, well, it's how I invest. I come to church so you can tell me the truth. That's part of it. But I'm going to tell you something. God bless your heart. I love you. But listen to me. Miss Connie, oh, bless your heart. I love you dearly. Miss Connie texted me a little bit ago and said, "Preacher, I'm about to start making the cookies." Yes. Tonight, baby, as soon as I leave here, milk and oat milk chocolate cookies. Oh, I'm preaching right now. I can't do that. I'm saying, hey, listen, you know what, Miss Connie? I'm gonna go home and enjoy them so much. So much. Ain't y'all jealous? I see y'all covetous. No. But my point is, you know what I can't do? And I've tried it. I about made myself sick eating them. They were so good. I just kept eating them instead of a meal. I can't live off of that. I can't live off sugar highs. There's no substance there. There's no nutritional value that I can sustain myself in. And so many Christian people try to live from message to message, feeding themselves. This is your food spiritually. And we have so many spiritual, anorexic, anemic Christians that they can barely get from service to service because they don't eat in between. And if your body and your flesh needs 3 meals a day, and some of y'all 4 or 5, I saw your belly. How much more is your spirit? You better feed yourself. You better start investing in food, which is truth, that'll transform and change and challenge you on some things that you believe. And I give 2 simple little examples tonight, and we're out of time, that wasn't even in my notes or nothing, just our Bible truths. So I close the message by applying it. Brother Brown, one of the greatest preachers that I ever heard, taught me in Bible college. He said, you can have the best message. You can bring out the best points and argue it like a lawyer and nail it down and prove your point. And it would fly in the court of law. And you'd win the argument. But if you don't do that, and then at the end of it, apply it and put it in shoe leather and hand it to them and say, "Now do this." And so by way of application, this is 2 truths that you should buy just from tonight. The Lord brought to my mind: you're a soldier and you're a servant. In the morning, when you wake up, you're not going to feel like a servant. And you're not going to feel like a soldier. You're probably not even going to be thinking like a soldier. But God thought so much about us as soldiers that He said that we ought to put on the whole armor of God. Every day. How many days this week, be honest, you don't have to raise your hand, but you be honest between you and God. How many days this week have you already woke up not operating like a soldier, not thinking like a soldier, so much so that you didn't take this war we're in serious enough that you didn't even put on the armor before you left your house? Amen. Do you see how serious it is that we take this thing so lightly because we've been lied to that we can just make it as a Christian in this war unscathed and be effective? But that's a lie. You're going to get shot by the fiery darts of the devil, and he's going to burn your tail up, and he's going to blister you, and he's going to hurt you, and he's going to destroy you and me. If we don't start operating and buying the truth and believing about ourselves what God said about us. I am a soldier. I am in the Lord's army. Therefore, I'm in a war, and therefore I must act like it and operate like I am because I am. And so should you. Amen. So trade in, exchange your comfortable life. That's a lie. Amen. In exchange for the truth that I am a soldier. and start operating in that truth. That one truth should radically change your life. And there's a million more. That's just one that popped in my head. But this Bible. Do you see how many things we take for granted and just stroll through life, and how we think and how we operate in our own world, in our own culture, doing it how we've always done it and wondering why things ain't better? Because we failed to buy and purchase truth. Invest in it. All right, that's all the time I got. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you take the truth of the Word of God and help us to apply it to our heart. Buy it, Lord, and sell it not. I ask you in Jesus' name, you take your Word, Lord, and do what only you can. Lord, I have tried to preach it, but Lord, this miraculous thing of preaching where you take the truth and you put it in people's heart and transform lives. Lord, I can't do that. You can, though. And so, Lord, I trust you to take your truth, Lord. Put it in your people's heart. And God, I pray you'd open our eyes and help us all to see, Lord, this whole word of truth is there for the taking, there for us to buy it and purchase it and invest in. I pray you'd help us to do that. God, that we'd be better believers, that we'd be better children of God, that we'd be better soldiers, that we'd be better husbands and better wives and better mamas and daddies, better church members that would walk in truth. And we'll bless you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, God bless you. Don't forget, need to take